This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to this Umrah tutorial. I'll start with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. قال الله تعالى ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. What we're going to discuss today is really what is the simple way of doing Umrah. There's a lot of guidance out there. There's a lot of books that have been written. I want to just explain the real basics and then add a bit more to that so that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to do the Umrah correctly and make it an accepted Umrah. So this is not really something to be so worried about that you are going to definitely get something wrong or something. Really, all Umrah is putting on an ihram, which means different things for men and women, which I'll explain soon. And then after that, proceeding beyond the miqat, which are the boundaries before Jeddah, for example. And that's where the ihram has to be placed on from. And the intention has to be made, and then we proceed on to Mecca. Once we've settled down there in the hotel, etc., we make our way to Masjid al-Haram, to the great Masjid, and we enter there, and we start the Umrah. The Umrah is essentially very simple. It's just seven rounds around the Kaaba, starting from a particular place, ending in a particular place, and once that's done, we do two rak'ats of prayer. Which are called the tawaf, two rakats of tawaf. Following that, we go to and have some zamzam. And following that, we have to do seven sa'is. Now, sa'i just means essentially traveling between the two small mounts of Safa and Marwa, like the way Hajar alayhi salam did. And you start off in Safa, and then you go back and forth seven times, which means that you'll end up in Marwa. And then once you've done that, you can do another two rak'ats if you want to. These ones are not essential. And then after that, you go and get your hair cut or shaved, depending on what you want to do and the greater reward. I'll explain that. And that's your Umrah done. You go and then you take off your ihram and you have a shower. And then, you know, you can then stay in Mecca for as long as you want. Do some more Umrahs if you want to. Really, that's all it is. All Umrah is an ihram with an intention and the labaik, etc. You go do seven turns around the Kaaba. And then you go and do the two rak'ats, have some zamzam water, and then go and do the sa'i between the Safa and Marwa, which is the travel between Safa and Marwa. And then after that, you go and you cut your hair, and then you're done. That's your Umrah done. It takes about 2 hours, I would say, you know, if there's not too much, if it's not so busy. And if it is busy, then it's going to probably take more than 2 hours. Some people do it even in less than 2 hours. But generally, 2 hours is a decent average to do that. So now let us begin from home. So from home, all we have to do is that we're setting off for this journey. It's a good idea to do two rak'ats of prayer at home. And then it depends on how you're going to get to Jeddah. If you're going to get directly to Jeddah, then it's going to be difficult for us to have a shower anywhere. And it's a good idea to have a ghusl and a shower before we put the ihram on. So that's why in that case, it's best to have that shower at home. Clip your nails, remove any unwanted hair. And then after that, put some perfume on your body. And then have, for the men, it's two ihram garments, the upper garment and the lower garment. For women, they can wear anything that's modest and decent. They don't have to wear specific sheets as such. They wear their normal clothes, baggy, loose clothes, and the hijab, etc., the covering that they put on. And then after that, once you're all groomed and you've had a shower, you've applied some fragrance to your body, and then after that, you've got the ihram on, you do two rakats of prayer from home. And then after that, if you have your hat on, which you should try to do and pray with, but then you take your hat off for the men. For the women, they keep everything on. And then after that, you make the intention that, oh Allah, I am intending the ihram. I am intending Umrah. So you can say this in Arabic. You can say this in English if you want to. Allahumma inni uridu al-umrah, fayassirha li wa taqabbalha minni. Essentially saying, oh Allah, I intend this Umrah, so make it easy for me and accept it from me. Now, Then after that, this is the crucial part. Until now, it's like you've prepared, for example, if you're preparing for prayer. After this, you will say, Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. Memorize this. You should actually memorize the labbaik. Essentially, what it means is, it means, I am present. Oh Allah, I am present. I am present. There is no partner for you. I am present. Innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk, all praise and all bounties and gifts are yours to give, are yours, they all belong to you, and for you is all sovereignty and all of kingdom. La sharika lak, there is no partner for you. So we say this. Now once we say this, it's like we've said Allahu Akbar and tied our hands in prayer. So like you're in the ihram now, you're in the what you call the pilgrim sanctity state. Now you're not allowed to, for example, remove any hair. You're not allowed to, for example, cut any nails or anything like that. You can't apply any kind of perfume or any kind of scented item after this. You shouldn't be arguing. You shouldn't be speaking about any kind of intimate issues, sexual intimacy issues, even with one's wife. No intimate touching or anything of this nature, because it's like we're in the Umrah. We've started from that. Now, as I said, you can do this at home if you're not going to have a chance to do this before you get to Jeddah. However, if you are going to stop somewhere, for example, if you're going to stop in Cairo, you're going to stop in Dubai or Abu Dhabi or any of these other towns, and you want to do it from there, you can do that as well, right? If you're going to have time to do it there, you can just go with your normal clothes, and without starting your ihram, you can start from down there instead. So when you get to these places in transit, you will go and you can take a shower. If there's a shower facilities, a lot of airports won't have shower facilities maybe. So then you can have had the shower from home beforehand. So when you get there, you just make wudu. So if you can't take a shower before starting the ihram, then what you do is you do wudu at least. So do a wudu down there. And then once you've done the wudu, then you know you do your two rak'ats again. In the two rak'ats, first rak'ah you read Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, second one you read Qul huwallahu ahad. And if you didn't read those, you read something else, that's fine as well. It's just that this is the optimal is to read that. And then you do the same thing, you make an intention, and then you say labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. Then you get onto your flight and then you get to Jeddah. And in this case, you're still in ihram now. The other option is that you might not be coming from through Jeddah. You might have already been to Medina Munawwara, and now you're going to come from Medina Munawwara. That makes it much more easier. You don't have to worry about putting an ihram on from home or from the airport, because you're going to Medina Munawwara, no ihram needed. When you finish Medina Munawwara and you're going on the way to Mecca, the boundary from which you have to wear your ihram is very close to Medina Munawwara, just about 15 minutes or so outside the town, outside the city of Medina Munawwara. So again, from your room in Medina Munawwara, you can put your ihram on. Don't make any intention or anything. You can just put the garments on that you need. And then when you get to Dhul Hulayfa, that's generally where everybody will stop. You can take a shower there if you want to, or just do wudu there if you've already taken a shower. And then after that, you do the two rak'ats there in the masjid down there, and then you make your intention and you say labbaik, and then after that you can proceed on to Makkah Mukarramah from there. So that makes it a bit easier. So now what you'll do is, when you get to Makkah, when you get to Jeddah and you go through immigration and everything like that, and eventually your transport takes you to Makkah. When you get to Makkah, get into your hotel, meaning go and settle down in your hotel, put your luggage down there and everything, take a little rest if you have to, right? If you're very tired, sometimes these journeys can take a very, very long time. So if you have to, you know, go and take a little rest if you have to. Before you proceed, you can actually take a quick shower. Here, it's sunnah to take a shower in Makkah, Mukarramah, but obviously without soap, because you're going to be in ihram already. The idea is that, you know, you've traveled, so you might be slightly gritty or whatever. So you take a quick shower, but you have to be very careful, because what happens is that we're so used to using soap, and the hotels will probably have soap there anyway. So what you do is that after you use the bathroom or whatever, you know, while you're using it, the soap is there, so you start using it by default. So be very careful about that. Don't use soap, because soap is scented soap is prohibited. If you've taken non-scented soap, you could use that, to be honest. But it's better just to take a quick rinse, essentially, and then after that get back into your ihram clothing, your garments, and then proceed on for your umrah. As soon as you're ready and to take in the whole beauty of Makkah, you're already there in that sacred city, so now you will proceed to the haram. You'll proceed to the Masjid al-Haram. When you get to the Masjid al-Haram, enter with the right foot in any of the doors, whether that be King Abdul Aziz Gate or any of the others that are closer to you, and try to look down. Try not to look at the Kaaba if it's in the line of vision. From King Abdul Aziz Gate, it is usually in the line of vision. Try not to look at it, because what we want to do is that as soon as we see it for the first time, we want to be able to do, they say, all your du'as are accepted the first time that you see it. So you want to be in a place where you can actually stop and make all the heartfelt du'as that you want to, right? So try to look down and keep proceeding. If you have got somebody to guide you, great, that's wonderful. You might be going with a group, you might be going alone. Either way, stop somewhere where you can see the Kaaba and you're not disturbing anybody, you're not in anybody's path, and then just pour your heart out. That's really an emotional moment when you see the Kaaba for the first time, after for the either absolute first time, this is your first time going there, or it's your first time after a while, after a year or two. It always just strikes awe in us, and it just, this amazing connection it creates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So pour your heart out, make dua, have a list of duas. The most effective way to get this right is to have a list of du'as, whether on your phone or otherwise, just pull it out and start making du'a from your heart, and then for whoever you need to make du'a for, take as long as you want. And then after that, once you're done with that, you go and you find where the black stone is. That's generally represented by a light on the masjid wall. So the Kaaba will be in the middle, but if you want to look at towards the actual masjid building, then you'll see a green light or something down there, or something to mark it. That's where you'll see people raising their hands usually as well. So you go there, there's probably no longer a line on the ground. What you do is you stand just before the black stone, towards the left of the black stone, essentially facing it. Now in this case, what you first do is you make an intention for tawaf. So you're saying, oh Allah, I'm going to do this tawaf with 7 rounds, and oh Allah, accept it from me. You have to be in wudu for this. So you make sure that you've done wudu before, because your tawaf is not valid without wudu. So you, now you're going to prepare to go around 7 times. And the way to do this is you face the Kaaba first. As a man, there's something special that you have to do here, since this is the tawaf that you're going to do for Umrah. What you have to do is, we have to do something special, right? What women don't have to do. Number one, we have to get our ihram, and usually people have the ihram upper cloth, upper wrap over there, over themselves like that, and maybe folded like that, which you can check in my ihram video that we have separately on the Zamzam Academy channel. But when we're starting any tawaf for Umrah, which is a necessary tawaf, we have to bare our right shoulders. As men, we have to bare the right shoulders. What that means is that we have the cloth from, we have the upper wrap over our left shoulder, going behind us, and then coming from under the arm and over the shoulder again. So the right arm is all bare. This right shoulder and right arm is exposed. That's what you call ittiba. If you've read books on this, you'll call it ittiba. Right? So you have to do this for that whole tawaf. And then you recover yourself after you finish the tawaf. Now what we do is, we've made the intention looking at the Kaaba. We've made an intention that, oh Allah, I am performing this. Now what we first do is we raise the hands, like we do in Salat. So we raise the hands like this, and we read Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Walillahil Hamd. In the name of Allah, Allah is the greatest, and for Allah is all praise. So that's what we do. That's kind of the beginning of the tawaf. That's the istiqbal, that's the initial start of the tawaf. Then after that, what we do something different. What used to happen is, when people could access the black stone easily, they would then actually kiss the black stone. So there's a recommendation to kiss the black stone, to touch the black stone, or to at least wave at it and then kiss your hands, gesture at it and kiss your hands 8 times. One at the beginning, one every time you come back to this spot in every round, and then right at the end when you end as well. That's called istilam. However, before that, we're going to raise our hands. So the first thing we do is raise our hands up there, say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Walillahil Hamd. And then after that, if you can't kiss the stone, as most likely most people can't kiss the stone like this, you know, on these occasions, so then you can't even touch it with your, you know, with your hands or anything else. So from afar, all you do is you just kind of stretch your hands out and then you kiss your hands. And now what you do is you turn yourself before, right at the black stone, you turn yourself so that you, now your left hand side is facing the black stone. You don't want to move around the Kaaba. You don't want to move around the Kaaba with your chest towards it or your face towards it. That's not the point of it. We're not going to move sideways like that. We're going to actually move as a, you know, anti-clockwise direction. We're going to walk with our left towards the house of Allah. Also, the other thing as men that we have to do in the tawaf is, aside from covering, uncovering the shoulders, we also, in the first three rounds, we have to do what you call ramal in Arabic, which is a kind of a marching almost, where you're lifting your knees and you're taking shorter steps and you're kind of striding in this powerful way. So you do that for the first three. Now, you do this to the best of your ability. If you're in a big crowd, I mean, you don't want to be kicking people and pushing people out of the way. So you try to do it to the best of your ability. You'll see other people doing it as well. And so as men, you have to do that as well for the first three rounds. And then after that, the last four rounds, you just walk normally, right? You walk normally, but you keep the shoulder exposed for all seven rounds. So we start moving now with everybody. You join the crowd. If there's a crowd, if you're slightly to the outside, you walk at your own pace, you know, wherever you're comfortable, and you go around. So I'm just going to tell you how the physical aspect of it, and then we can discuss other things. You go around, and then when you come back to this black, where you come back to the starting point again, where the black stone is there, what you do is you, again, try to kiss the stone, but again, you're not going to be able to do that. So you just quickly make a gesture if you want to and kiss your hands. Even with one hand, you can do that. It's not necessary that, you know, you have to stand there and do this, because most likely there's going to be a crowd. So you can just, as you're walking, you can just go, Bismillah Allah, you can just go, Bismillah Allahu Akbar, and then just kiss your hand, kiss your fingers, and then carry on. The corner of the Kaaba that comes before the black stone, that's called Rukn al-Yamani. Right, that's the Yemeni corner. There again, if you're very close to the Kaaba, you can touch it. But if you're not close to the Kaaba and you can't touch it, you don't do anything down there, but then you read a special dua there, which we'll discuss. So you're going to go around seven times, passing the door of the Kaaba, the Multazam, the door of the Kaaba, and around seven times. As I said, each time you just have to kind of wave at the Kaaba if you can. It's not necessary. And say and then kiss your finger if you want to. Otherwise, you just say Bismillah Allahu Akbar, and then you carry on around. When you've done this seven times, right? As I said, each round could take you 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Just depends on where you are in the crowd, how busy it is, how close you are, and so on. On the seventh instant, when you come back to the black stone, you do istilam again, Bismillah Allahu Akbar. Then now you have finished your tawaf. So in this case now, you finish your tawaf. Now let me just quickly explain a few other things about the tawaf to you. As you're going around, you just look down in humility and you're just remembering Allah. Remember, this just sounds like an exercise. Physically, you just go around seven times. Anybody can do that. But there's a significance of why you do this. You do this because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At home, we used to pray our salat and do dhikr and so on. Now Allah has allowed us to come to His house. He's given us a place of focus. Now Allah doesn't reside in His house, but that house is dedicated to Allah. It's a very, very special place on this earth. So what we're doing is, in a love of somebody who goes and checks something out or likes to walk in an area that gives them memories of somebody that they love. There's people who go to the graveyard like that. There's people who go to their lover's residence or their lover's city or town, and they just kind of admire things around there in memory and in remembrance of their beloved. You're supposed to remember Allah here. So if you want, you can do your heartfelt du'as here. You should do adhkar. There's a multiple things you should do. And you know what some people do is they just allot things for the different tawafs. So in one, they just do du'as for themselves. Just one whole round, they're just going to make du'as for themselves. Again, you can use a list. There's nothing wrong with looking at a list, whether on your phone or otherwise. Number two, they'll make du'a. The second round, they'll make du'as for others. A whole list of people that they have. The ummah, you know, don't forget the ummah. Number three, I'm going to do tasbih in the fourth round. In the fifth one, I'm going to do takbir. In the sixth round, for example, I'm going to read Quran. In the last one, I'm going to send blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can do whichever of those. Otherwise, just calm, collected, and considered reflective mood. You don't want to be looking around at the big buildings and what you can observe and what you can't observe. You know, if you do see somebody that you know, you can say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If you need some water or you need something or saying something, you can say, you can have a conversation, it won't break your tawaf, but you need to try to be in a mode connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a sunnah dua that is mentioned from the last, just before the black stone, the corner before it, which is called Rukn al-Yamani. That one where you'll see people lining up to kiss the black stone. That area, when you're going through that area, there is a dua from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah wa qina adhab an-nar. Our Lord, grant us in this world all good, and grant us in the hereafter all good, and protect us from the punishment of the hellfire. That's such a comprehensive dua that if that just gets accepted, our dunya and the hereafter, this world and hereafter, are all sorted and we've been saved from the hellfire. May Allah accept these duas for us. And then I would just request that you make dua for us as well. You make dua for me, my family, and for the people who helped your Hajj and who have been, you know, have contributed to making it easy for you. And then after that, once we've done that, once the tawaf has finished, and it's going to be quite an achievement. You're going to finish. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance, obviously, and to forgive us for any shortcomings in that regard. Now what we have to do is we have to read two rak'ats. These are necessary. These are wajib to do, preferably by the Maqam Ibrahim. But when it's really busy, you can pray anywhere. So anywhere behind the Maqam Ibrahim, right, where the effects of the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam are, you should be able to notice it. Or anywhere in that direction. Otherwise, anywhere in the masjid, really. Right, you can do two rakats of this prayer. And if it's, for example, a time that you're not allowed to pray, like after Asr, you can't do the prayer of Tawaf, then you can do it later after Maghrib, but make sure you do it. Now what you'll do is you'll proceed towards the Safa and Marwa, which is the Mas'a. But on your way there, that's where the Zamzam is. So there it says you should just stuff yourself with Zamzam. You should drink a lot of Zamzam, and when you're drinking Zamzam, you stand up and you drink. That's a recommendation here. And there's a dua is Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan wasi'a wa shifaa'an min kulli da, which means, oh Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge, as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan wasi'a, extensive sustenance, and a cure from every ailment. A cure for every ailment. Again, a beautiful dua. And then again, you can make any other dua you want there as well. Because duas, they say that a Zamzam water is for whatever duas you make. Whatever duas you make, inshallah, will be accepted there as well. So you make dua there, and then you'll be now replenished, you know. And then you go to the Safa. Before you get to the Safa Mount, you'll see everybody going in that direction. There's signs there as well. You have to do another istilam towards the Kaaba. You can either go back to the Kaaba if you want, but that'll be very difficult, to be honest. So people just do istilam from wherever they can see the Kaaba. And if you can't see the Kaaba, that's fine. You can just do it in that direction. And then after that, you start at Safa. You've made your intention that I'm now going to do the Sa'i, which is the seven circuits between Safa and Marwa. And then you can do a dua there. You can read the verse of the Quran, which is Inna Safa wal Marwata min sha'airillah. Faman hajjal bayt aw i'tamara fala junaha alayhi an yattawafa bihima wa man tatawwa'a khayran fa inna Allaha shakirun alim. You can read that dua, and then after that you proceed down towards Marwa. Now you can walk, right? You can walk fast, you can walk slow here. However, there's a place which is a short distance from Safa. You'll come to a place where you'll suddenly see everybody hurrying or running. So men will start running here. The women can come at their own pace. This is usually distinguished by green lights in that area. There's a change of the light colors there, so that's where you run. This is where the bottom of the valley was, where Hajar alayhi salam had run. You know, had gone and completed that running before she started climbing the next mountain. There's no mountain to climb anymore. And then after you finish that green area, you just carry on walking. You get to Marwa. Marwa, you make a dua. And again, you can read the same dua, Inna Safa wal Marwata, which is the verse of the Quran. And then you can make any other dua there. And then after that, you come back. So you do this seven times. And the seventh one, you'll end up in Marwa. Now in this one, if you had broken your wudu, you can go and redo the wudu, but you don't have to. It's not necessary, because the sa'i does not require purity, but it's good to be in purity. After you finish that, you can do two rakats now as well, which are recommended, but these are not essential. These are not wajib, but you can do two rakats then or later. And then after that, you go, and once you've finished, you go back and towards your hotel or wherever it is, and there's places that you can go to the barbershop, ask people where the barber's salons are. There they'll cut your hair, so you now have to have your hair cut, right? You have to have your hair cut, which is... You have to cut at least a minimum of like an inch from at least a quarter of your head. So you can either have a trim of an inch of hair if you've got that long hair. But the preference is, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua thrice extra for, is to actually shave the hair for men. The women will only cut their hair an inch or so, you know, from the ends, whereas the men, they would prefer to get a shave. So that's it. Once you've done that now, you are out of ihram. So now all the prohibitions that were there, like no fragrance and so on, cutting hair or whatever, all of that now becomes permissible. So now you go back to your room, take a shower, put your normal clothes on, and then after that you will be in Makkah. So those were the main things regarding the tawaf and regarding the sa'i. So that's it. It's essentially all that is. You go, you perform the 7 rounds with the 8 istilams, and then you start off with the intention, of course. You finish off. Then after that you do the 2 rak'ats. Again, you can do them anywhere. You can do the sa'i, safa and marwa. During all of this process, in the sa'i as well, in the tawaf as well, you just read as much dua as you want. Take a little book of du'as if you want to, right? And you can read from there if you want to, a little Quran, a mushaf. You can read on your phone. You can do it as you wish. All we would request is just make dua for us as well. And just don't waste your time during that time. It's a very special act. It's a very special act. And just thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're being given the ability to do this, because many people around the world, the majority, don't get to do this, right? Because it's not easy for everybody to come. Another thing that you can do while you're in Makkah is that if you want to, you can actually go and do some more umrahs. For that, what you have to do is get back into ihram, and to do that, what you have to do is go to a place. There's multiple places you can go to, but the closest place is called Masjid Aisha. Now all the taxi guys, they know about this, so you can ask any taxi person to take you there. Again, you would put your get back into your ihram garments, and you would go there, and you would make an intention there. Do your 2 rakats there. There's a big masjid there. Do your 2 rakats, make an intention, do your labbaik, and then come back and then do your whole umrah again. While you're in Makkah, some people like to do more umrahs on behalf of others to give the reward to others. They can do that if they want to. However, it's up to you. They say that there's 2 opinions about this. The other opinion is that you just do more nafil tawafs. You just do extra optional tawafs, which are essentially a collection of 7 rounds, the same way as I explained to you before. You can do multiple in the daytime, so you can do more of those if you want to. If you go for another umrah, it requires you going out, coming back in, and then after that doing the tawaf and then the sa'i as well. You never do sa'i alone. You only do sa'i with a tawaf for the sake of an umrah or for hajj. So there's no nafil sa'is as such. There's only nafil tawafs, which is one of the best worships you can do down there, because the only place you can do tawaf is in Makkah. So that's why they say that that is superior to a lot of other worships, right? But you know, if you're tired and you can't be going around, then you know, you spend your time doing everything else. In fact, in tawaf you can read your Quran and you can do a lot of other things as well. You can do a lot of your other adhkar, so that it's a very combined kind of worship in that sense. So yeah, do lots of tawafs down there. Don't waste your time and just do lots of tawafs as you in terms of the number of days that you spend down there. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. Now when you stay in Makkah, what you do is, however many days you're going to stay in Makkah before you go to Medina Munawwara, if you're going afterwards, or before you go home, we want to value this, because we're not there every day, right? And it's a place to be valued, it's a place to be cherished, it's a place to be benefited from, because there's huge amounts of blessing that are coming there. We've got some other lectures, you know, on Zamzam Academy channel on YouTube as well, where you can listen up on more of the details of this and a greater detail of the whole tawaf and everything else, which I can't cover in this short video here. But this is more than enough. Now I say the best way to now spend the rest of the time in Makkah Mukarramah is have a schedule. Try to, number one, try to pray all 5 prayers in the masjid. You do have to go a bit earlier when it's busy time because they close the doors earlier. Then you're forced to go into, well, you can still get into the extension. Sometimes they even close the extension, the King Abdullah extension. So you'll have to pray in the courtyard. That's why it's always a good idea that when in Mecca, most people do this, is that their whole schedule revolves around the five daily prayers. Right, so it's a good idea to go a bit earlier and go and do some reading, go and do some dhikr or whatever, and be in the masjid from an earlier rather than go late and then get stuck somewhere or not be able to go in. Again, I said that if we can make a schedule from before we leave, or if you're there, once there, is what do we want to achieve in that day? Each day, the 4 days, 5 days that you're staying there. So it's a good idea to say, I'm going to read this much Quran. I'm going to complete this much Quran, and these are the times I'm going to spend reading it. I'm going to finish a Quran maybe. I'm going to read 5 juz, 10 juz, or whatever it is. I am going to do this much tasbihs, you know, carry a tasbih if you can. I'm going to do this much salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to do this much qadha prayers. It's a really good idea to do qadha prayers while you're there because you're traveling anyway, so you can really fill up that time with a lot of your makeup prayers after doing that. Again, if you have a schedule of what you want to achieve in each of these days, and from the week you're there, what I want to achieve in that, it's much better, because there are a lot of distractions. You know, you're going to meet people. There's a lot of shopping opportunities down there. I'm not saying don't do any shopping, you know. Have a time for your shopping that, okay, out of the 5 days, a list of things that you want to buy. If you know what you're going to buy, quickly go and do your shop. Go and buy your dates, etc. You know, from Medina, Munawwara, wherever you are. And then after that, you just carry on. Right, you carry on so that your day is focused. That's the most important thing, is to actually have a regimen of what you do. Along with the normal prayers, you know, you want to fill your time with some of the other recommended prayers. For example, tahajjud prayer. There will be an adhan most likely, right, about an hour or so before the actual fajr adhan. That won't be the fajr adhan, that will be the tahajjud adhan. So you can actually get up from that time, go to the masjid an hour before fajr and spend time in tahajjud prayers, which is usually anywhere between 2 to 8 rak'ahs. Right, so you do tahajjud prayer. Then after that, you can wait after fajr until the sun rises, and you can do ishraq prayer there. Then later on in mid-morning, around 10-11 o'clock, you can actually do the duha prayer, which they call the chasht prayer in Urdu, for example, if you're aware of that name. After maghrib, besides the 2 rakahs of sunnah, you can do an additional 2 and 2 again, which would equate to the awabin prayer, as such the prayer of those who return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are often repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So 6 rakahs in total, including the sunnah, or separate to the sunnah, you can do an additional 6 rakahs, and so on. So try to do as many good things as possible. Try to make lots of dua and istighfar. In fact, before leaving home, one should do istighfar so that we're as purified as possible, so when we go there, we receive the whole benefit. And then when we're there, we want to come back totally forgiven. I know this is not Hajj, but still Umrah can provide, because of the special place and the special act. Umrah can also provide for us, you know, it's a mini Hajj at the end of the day, right? So that can provide greatness for us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us and to make it easy for us and to give us the greatest utility of our time there, so that we can come back much more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than when we had departed from home, and we can maintain that even afterwards. Jazakallahu khair. Please, we request you to remember us all in your du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khair, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.